So here it is, friends, the final frantic 2 minutes and 41 seconds tonight in Stafford, Virginia, at Lee Mountain View.
And again, Mountain View down to one timeout. Tuscarora is a winner tonight. The winner of this game gets them next week. Tweedy to pass, looking across the middle. Got a man, Coghill, touchdown, Mountain View. It's Trey Coghill across the middle, got away from his defender, and the Wildcats retake the lead with 2:41 to go. But this is their last best chance. Nobody in the backfield with Harris. They're rushing four. Across the middle, got Blackman complete. Breaks away from his man and a second man. He's inside the 20. He's got a blocker, and he's into the end zone. Are there flags? I see no flags. Touchdown, Atlee Raiders. Holy cow! The fans are imploring their home team to get going. We're under a minute. Tweedy, looking to pass, wants it all. Looking downfield, Coghill, got it! Touchdown, Mountain View! At 51.1 to go. And now the referees say, let's go. First down, Harris. Got it to Givens. 30, 25, 20, 15, 12. Down, timeout. Atlee, 11.7 to go. They're putting 13 seconds on the clock. First and 10 at the 14-yard line. Atlee in the red zone. And they need a touchdown because they're down four. Harris looking. Corner of the end zone. Got a man. He caught it. Is it in? Touchdown. Touchdown. The Raiders have scored. It's Blackman. It's Cole Blackman with 6.6 to go. It was worth all 129 miles round trip tonight. I know we had some great action back home here in the 804. We're going to talk about it all and break it down on this edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network. But we pick, you know, some weeks we pick a game of the week and it's just a clunker, I'll be honest with you. It was anything but tonight. Unbelievable. And the Atlee Raiders will move on to round two in 5A North to take on Tuscarora next Friday. How are you, friends? I'm still trying to get over. This is the 14th season that I have been blessed to call high school football. On Friday nights on WHAN Radio, this is our fifth season of the Game of the Week format. We were strictly Patrick Henry football from 2002 to 2010, and then when we signed on our FM at 102.9 5 years ago, we moved into a Game of the Week format in which we could feature all the Hanover County teams. And we've had some pretty wild moments, but I got to tell you, the last 2 minutes and 41 seconds of tonight's game in Stafford County on a beautiful turf field at Mountain View High School. And I'm getting out my notes here that I forgot to get out before I started the podcast. So please excuse me for the sausage making and the housekeeping. But the last 2:41 of that game came out of nowhere and is arguably the best 2 minutes and 41 seconds, the most exciting 2 minutes and 41 seconds of football that we have called in 14 years. And we've called some incredible games and some classic upsets and some, you know, last second heroics and I'm not so sure. There may have been some things that are equal to tonight, and I realize it's only the first round of the postseason, but I felt genuinely happy for the Atlee Raiders and for the Atlee fans that had come up all the way to Stafford County to support them. And my heart broke absolutely broke for the Mountain View faithful below me in the home stands and for all the Mountain View staff there in the press box tonight. And I want to thank the Mountain View staff. They were unbelievable. Mr. Dodd, the assistant activities director, greeted us when we arrived at 5 o'clock this afternoon. His AD was down at Virginia Beach because Mountain View was playing in the 5A field hockey semifinals, and we'll get to that on this podcast. They treated us like kings, had us all set up and ready to go. They were just absolutely wonderful. And I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart and tell them I am so sorry their season is over. Because let me tell you, the Wildcats were a class act all the way to the bitter end. And that was a tough, tough way to see their season end. Mountain View was 6-0 at one point. They had a very rough back end of the schedule. They played Brook Point, North Stafford, and Massaponix in the last three of the last 4 weeks of the season. All of those teams ended up in the top five in 5A North. They lost to those teams, including a two-point loss to North Stafford last week, which they were in a tie for fifth. They dropped to seventh, and that's what made them get Atlee, the 10th seed, in round one. And then Raiders come up, winners of three in a row, but against the bottom of the Capital District, and they end up with 17 penalties for 254 yards. At least two touchdowns that I can remember called back. One that was definitely a touchdown, one a run on Green, by Green that the refs had him down at the half-yard line. But I know when KG, my buddy KG Grobix, puts up the video of the game tomorrow night, and he does such an incredible job matching the video with our audio from our game of the week, I can't wait to sit down and watch that one. I have a feeling we're going to see what I thought I saw, and that was Green actually when he went down. He was on top of a Mountain View defender, rolled over, so when his knee actually finally hit the turf, he was in the end zone. But there was a penalty, and it negated the touchdown. Happened multiple times to Atlee. Happened once to Mountain View. Atlee, with a more disciplined game, wouldn't have been in the position that they were in the final 241. But just to quickly review, it was Trey Coghill and Ahmad Tweedy versus Cole Blackman and Rashard Harris. 2:41 to go. You heard the 18-yard crossing pattern up the middle to Coghill. That gave Mountain View the lead at 28-24. Raiders, 20 seconds later, pass to Blackman. He gets the pass. He shakes off a couple of defenders and heads to the far sideline. And the second time in the game that J.J. Givens didn't stop the play, he found a way to get down the field. The first time when Blackman scored in the second half, he didn't have to throw a block. This time he did, and it was critical because Blackman would have been knocked out of bounds had Regime J on Twitter not been there. So the touchdown gives them the 31-28 lead, 2:21 to go. Mountain View gets the ball back. They start driving. Critical and controversial call. Could have been a third and long for Mountain View, but on a second and long, a pass that was intended for the receiver on the right flat, Givens saw it, made a beeline for it for a half a second. I thought he was going to get a pick six. He knocks the ball down, but the referee calls pass interference, and the only thing I could see Givens guilty of was possibly putting a left hand on a right shoulder pad. And at that late stage of the game, to me, I don't care if whose team it is. I could care less about that. I think at that point you swallowed the whistle. And I said that on the game of the week, and I'll repeat what I said. Now, I may go back and see KG's video Saturday night and look at myself and go, no, you blew that one, Rob. But from the eye test that I had, I thought bad call. It put Mountain View at the 49. Two plays later, the 47-yard touchdown pass you heard, Coghill from Tweedy. We had it originally on the broadcast as 46. That came with 51.1 seconds to go, and all hope looked lost. Atlee had all their timeouts, though. They had saved their timeouts, and that was huge. They get the football at the 35-yard line. They're able to get a couple of pass completions. Then you heard the critical completion. Givens on a screen to the near sideline. He ends up chewing up about 26 yards, and he got probably 18 to 20 of them after the catch. He's down officially to the 14 is where they spotted the football. Call timeout. They call for the play. Harris to Blackman, back right corner of the end zone. Had Cole not been able to catch the ball, or had he caught it out of bounds? And that's what we were looking at. We saw him catch the ball. We just were waiting to see if he had a foot in. And, you know, had that not happened, they would have had time for one final play from the 14. But Blackman hauls it in. UVA, you're getting a great wide receiver. Can I just tell you? and extra point good. And then, interestingly enough, the much maligned Atlee defense, which has struggled all year long and struggled at times again tonight. When a Mountain View Ratke teed it up, and instead of a squib kick, he just boomed it into the end zone for the automatic touchback. Tweedy and company had to go 80 yards in 6.6 seconds, and Mason Cooper ended that with the big sack. And the defense finished the job. Atlee goes to 7-4. And I know a lot of y'all are saying, boy, there were more important games than that tonight. I don't know why in the world you're talking about Atlee so much. I'm talking about Atlee so much because that was the game I was at. That was the game we saw. That was our game of the week here on the RBA Sports Network, and we couldn't have picked a better one. We just couldn't. Think about the only game that really had as much drama was Dinwiddie-Monacan, and we had our Preston Hauser there for that, and he did a great job on Twitter for us on both the RBA Sportsnet and at Chesterfield Sports. And we'll get to that in a second. But before I leave Atlee, quickly, Rashard Harris, 17 of 30, 418 yards, 5 touchdowns. Can I repeat that? 418 yards and 5 touchdowns. J.J. Givens, 6 catches, 211 yards, 2 touchdowns. Cole Blackman, 5 catches, 177 yards, 3 touchdowns. Rashard Harris threw for 295 yards after intermission. He was 10 of 15, no interceptions in the second half, for 295 yards and 4 touchdowns in the third and fourth quarter. Unbelievable. Atlee had 554 yards of total offense. Mountain View had 496. Mountain View ran 24 more plays than Atlee did, 77 to 53. Big stat of the night, though, and this one kind of went under the radar, third down conversions. Atlee, 6 of 12. Mountain View, 2 of 11. And what did the Raiders overcome in the penalty market? 17 for 254 yards. Mountain View had 6. We had 23 penalties combined on the game. So Atlee goes to Tuscarora, the defending 5A North Region champs, next Friday night up in Northern Virginia. They're the 2 seed. They beat Patrick Henry Roanoke tonight. And so the Raiders will try to pull off an even bigger upset and keep their season alive next Friday. Now, if you haven't seen Twitter or heard the end of our broadcast, you know by now that our game of the week, next week, we've already made the decision, and we're going to go to Hanover for 4A East second round action. It will be Dinwiddie, Hanover, round number 2. They met on opening night for Hanover for the second game of the season for Dinwiddie, and the Hawks went down to Dinwiddie and got the victory. They also lost Clayton Cheatham in that victory to an injury for 8 weeks. Well, tonight, more breaking news, in case you weren't with us on Twitter. And if you're not, you got to be on Friday nights. I would just follow all of our Twitter feeds. Even if you unfollow them after Friday night and you only follow the ones you want. On Friday Night Football and the playoffs, you need to follow our entire network. And then, you know, if you want to dump whatever you don't want on Saturday morning and come back in a week, that's fine too. But that it's just an incredible way to get all the information that you need to know. Dinwiddie gets the win over Monacan tonight, 26-20. So Dinwiddie, the 6th seed, goes to Monacan, knocks out the 3 seed. And we'll get to the subject of byes in a little bit. We'll come back to Dinwiddie-Monacan. But Hanover got to be a little concerned because Dinwiddie's coming in on a roll. Big win over Meadowbrook to end the regular season. Big lead at Monacan. Monacan fires back, but they come up just short by 6, and their season ends very disappointingly at 9-2. It was a bad night to be a school with an M name in Chesterfield County, as Manchester, Metoaka, Meadowbrook all fall tonight in postseason action. But back to Hanover. Clayton Cheatham apparently had a second unsportsmanlike conduct penalty during the second half, which led to his ejection. And now, of course, Twitter is a buzz, and I had people asking me while I was on the broadcast and wasn't able to take care of it then and haven't been able to take care of it since because I got home, got everything set up, and got into the studio so we could record the podcast, but we will do investigating and we will find out if there's an automatic game suspension due to that. Even if there is, I'm sure there's an appeals process. So we will be in touch with head coach Derek Stout. We'll be in touch with AD Bob Bolander. And we'll have the scoop for you whenever it is official, whatever falls out from this. That how ironic it would be that it would be something like this that would cost Hanover the services of Cheatham in round two in the rematch with Dinwiddie. But they'll have Marcus Bazala at the ready, just in case that's the case. So next Friday night, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock airtime on 102.9 FM, 1430 AM, online on the RVA Sports Network at rvasportsnetwork.com, and all of our websites, HanoverCountySports.net, ChesterfieldCountySports.net, HenricoCountySports.net. We will have Dinwiddie Hanover round two. Now, for those of you screaming at me right now, why in the world aren't you going to Bird Hermitage? Are you crazy? That's going to be the game of the week. That is going to be a Titanic game. But can I clue you in on a little bit of backstage news you don't maybe understand? As you know, for a little over 20 years, Fox Sports 910 WRNL here in Richmond has done high school football. And I used to work for their parent company for 8 years back in the 2000s. And it was in 1999 that I got to meet one Gary Hess. And he and I became not only co-workers and colleagues, but we became good friends. Gary's a great guy. You're not going to meet anybody better. And so when we went to this game of the week format 5 years ago, we have worked behind the scenes with Gary. I cannot tell you how many phone calls he and I have had together over the last 5 years during the fall. And I am well aware of the fact that they will go to Hermitage LC Bird next week. And we defer because it's seniority. It's as simple as that. I mean, we could go to Hermitage LC Bird, but why would we do that when we could have a different game with just as many implications and have another audience that is served in the area? And that's what we're looking to do. So we know that 910 will be at Hermitage LC Bird. Not a problem there. We're going to try to have live tweet coverage of it on our Twitter network next week. We'll be working on that over the weekend. But I want you to understand that there's a whole lot more that goes into what we decide to do for our Game of the Week broadcast than you think. And it involves a lot more people than you think. And it even involves what people would consider to be our competitors. But we're really blessed in this town that we have a lot of friendly competitors. Gary and I are great friends and have had a wonderful working relationship, both as colleagues in the past and now as friendly rivals, as we like to say, on Friday nights. So we respect their decisions. Lee Davis, there was a big push from Lee Davis this past week for us to come do their first round game with Douglas Freeman on the Game of the Week. And when 910 decided to go to that game, that's when we on Twitter sent out the message Monday. We said, Lee Davis, thank you, thank you, thank you for your support and your votes. But 910 has chosen this game, and they're going to do the game, so we are going to go elsewhere. So that's why we're not going to Hermitage Bird, for those of you wondering. Early thinking right now is that we'll have a tweet coverage at Lee Davis and Highland Springs. Early thinking is we'll have tweet coverage of Hermitage LC Bird, and there's a possibility we could work again with our buddy Evan Hughes and his dad Kelly at Patriot Talk Live, and we want to thank them for the great job I know they did tonight. Obviously not able to listen to their broadcast. I was a little busy, but they were able to get the big Hanover 47-28 win over Louisa to a great audience online. Grateful for that. Thankful for them helping us expand our broadcast coverage here during the postseason on the RBA Sports Network. So just a little bit of background that I felt like everybody needed to know. Now, let's get to the scoreboard. 5A South in the Richmond area, 8-team subregion. Number 5, Lee Davis, beats Douglas Freeman. The 4 seed gone, 41-14 the final. Rebels finish at 9-2. This now makes, if memory serves me correctly, the second year in a row that Freeman has lost in round one. You'll recall 2 years ago they won in a big thrilling overtime game against Manchester and then lost at Atlee in round number two. So the Rebels season is done. Lee Davis moves on to face Highland Springs. Last year the Springers barely got by a gamey Meadowbrook Monarch team in that 1-8 battle. They had the rematch tonight. Highland Springs put on the gas pedal and never looked back. 42-13, the winners, Springers, they're 10-1. Meadowbrook season comes to a close. So it's a rematch of a game of the week we had earlier in October. Lee Davis at Highland Springs next Friday night. Lee Davis went in to that matchup unbeaten. They came out with their first defeat of the season. That game was in Mechanicsville. This game will be at Highland Springs. That's one side of the bracket. The other side of the bracket is what everybody hoped it would be, unless you were a Metoaka or a Henrico fan. Metoaka scored the first touchdown of the night against LC Byrd, and that was it. Byrd went on a 42-0 run, disposed of the Warriors, 42-6. They're 11-0. And I know they got a chip on their shoulder, having the 3 seed with the VHSL point ramifications, etc., etc. So they get to go hit the bus next Friday night back to Chester Fritz Stadium. And for the 5th year in a row, LC Byrd and Hermitage will show down in the postseason. Byrd has won each of the last 3. Last year, a round later in the state quarterfinal, Byrd came to Hermitage and really just played a phenomenal game in that victory. So Byrd comes back to Hermitage. And Hermitage does remember, even though there's nobody left on the team from the team that did this, but Hermitage does know the last team to beat LC Byrd in the postseason was the Hermitage Panthers on November 25th, 2011. That will be a war next week. And the survivor of it will either get Lee Davis or they'll have to go to Highland Springs. We'll briefly go to 3A East to say that Armstrong was eliminated tonight by James Monroe. Final score in that game was 56-0, so the Wildcat season comes to an end. And another surprising score, King William in 2A, their season comes to a close in round 1 in overtime. Stewart's Draft defeats King William 27-20. King William is not used to losing in mid-November. They're used to a deeper run than that, and this is going to be a tough off season for the Cavaliers northeast of Richmond. 4A East, we've already talked about the 2 area games. Hanover, only up 19-14 at the half on Louisa, pull away in the second half, 47-28. They get the win over the Lions. Hanover moves on, and they will host Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie gets a 24-8 lead on Monacan, and then the brakes come on their offense as Monacan's defense rises up. Monacan gets a couple of scores, gets within 4. Dinwiddie with a late safety score to make it the 6-point margin, and the Generals hold on in the end for the 26-20 win. So Dinwiddie at Hanover next week. On the other side of that pod, Cortland moves on tonight. They get a win over King George, and that is a 1-8 game. And a lot of people are thinking, okay, well, they were supposed to win a 1-8 game. But a few weeks ago, Cortland and King George played each other, and King George knocked them off. And so that was kind of one we had circled as the possibility for an upset watch, and that was not the case at all. 42-0, the final in that one. Cortland, the number 1 seed, easily with the win. They're going to get Eastern View of Culpeper County next week. They knock off Chancellor. The 4 seed is gone. 28-10, the final. So the remaining 4 teams in our 4A East area pod of conferences 19 and 20 are the number 1 seed Cortland, number 2 Hanover, number 5 Eastern View, number 6 Dinwiddie. Eastern View at Cortland next week, Dinwiddie at Hanover next week. That is our game of the week. And oh, by the way, as a quick aside back to the earlier conversation about the sausage making and how we determine what games we go to, another reason we've chosen this game is because we need to stay close in Richmond on next Friday, because there are going to be some boys championship volleyball matches going on at the Siegel Center that could involve Colonial Heights, Midlothian, Mills Godwin. And if that be the case, we want to be able to be in Richmond to watch volleyball and then get to wherever we need to go. And we can't do that and then head to Leesburg, for example. It's physically impossible. But we can do that and then get 95 to 295. What I'll do is I'll get my wife, who gets off of work at 5:30, to run a rough shot up 95 north. She can clear all the traffic out of the way so that when I'm coming out of the Siegel Center, it's smooth sailing over to Hanover. Is that okay with you? Okay, she got 2 thumbs up from my wife, so she's going to help us with that to make sure we don't have any have any problems next week. So Eastern View at Cortland, Dinwiddie at Hanover. Winners play each other the Friday after Thanksgiving in the 4A state quarterfinals. Another number one seed in 6A South goes down tonight. And this time it did not involve a Chesterfield school pulling the upset. James River did that last year in round one, you'll recall. This year, the honor goes to River Bend. They stun number one Colonial Forge. Now, River Bend had a bye last week. Colonial Forge went into last week knowing that no one could catch them for the number one seed. And so I'm driving home, and I had plenty of time to think driving home, and I thought to myself a case of two situations, River Bend and Monacan, how the bye can work for you or how the bye can work against you. River Bend goes into last week, not this past week, I'm talking last week, and I'm sure they looked at the numbers and everything, and they thought, okay, Colonial Forge, if we end up in the postseason, now, yes, if Manchester had beaten Cosby, it could have been different possibly, but they looked at the scenarios and thought, we really, really, really ought to look at getting ready for Colonial Forge because it's looking like that's a good possibility, and it works out that way. And they had more than a week to prepare for them, and they go, and they knock them off. So they get the win using that bye week. On the other hand, you have Monacan, who had the bye week, who sat the bye week not knowing who they were going to play. They thought it might be Dinwiddie. It ended up being Dinwiddie. But how much time do you really go into all the preparation? Because what you don't want to do is spend all week getting ready for Dinwiddie only to find out you're going to play Eastern View, okay, or Chancellor. And then suddenly you got to just stop the tape and record all over again, so to speak. So did the bye work against Monacan, having that week off? I'm sure it got a lot of bumps and bruises healed. But the bottom line is they didn't get the job done. And Dinwiddie comes in. You'll recall Dinwiddie, good start, uneven middle to their season. They get a big win over Meadowbrook last week, 35-12. I mean, a really, really convincing win. That had to give them confidence hitting the road to go to Monacan tonight. And so sometimes you wonder, you know. And sometimes I think the bye is not quite the issue. It's all of the things that surround the bye, such as what position you're in, who you're going to face. Do you know who you're going to face? Do you have 2 weeks to truly prepare, or do you have to waste a week not quite knowing who you're going to prepare for? All of those elements play into view. So you can't give the bye the credit for Riverbend winning, and you can't blame the bye for Monacan losing. But it's all just part of the expanded football schedule. So in 6A South, number one is out in the 18 pod of conferences 3 and 4. And River Bend will come to Chesterfield next week to take on the Cosby Titans. A few weeks ago, Cosby had a matchup against James River. Both teams at that time were 3 and 4. And basically, the winner of that game had the inside track to a playoff spot, and the loser was going to be in huge trouble. And as it turned out, not only was it a big win for Cosby, it started a 4-game winning streak that includes now 2 wins over Manchester. Manchester season comes to an end, and they struggled down the stretch, I know. But it is a very young team. Coach Tom Hall had a lot of injury issues this year. He had to replace a lot of seniors to begin with in August. For Manchester even to do what they did this season, I think is a pretty big accomplishment. And I've got Manchester circled on my calendar for 2016 because I think they're going to be a team to watch, a team that got a ton of experience because of injuries. Because of playing youth, sophomores are now juniors, and they're going to act like seniors with 2 years left to play, and the Lancers will be heard from in 2016. But tonight, Cosby gets the win, 42-27. Cosby was up 42-14 at one point, and Manchester scored a couple late. And so Manchester's season comes to a close. Cosby hosts River Bend in Round 2, 6A South, next week. On the other side, it will be Thomas Dale and C.D. Hilton, up in Woodbridge. Thomas Dale shuts out Woodbridge tonight 26-0. So the Knights get the first round win, and their reward, rather than host a team from Woodbridge, now they got to go to Woodbridge and take on C.D. Hilton. That's the team James River upset in round one last year. And C.D. Hilton, I'm sure, now seeing Colonial Forge having it happen to them this year, are thinking to themselves, okay, the path is cleared if we get the job done. So the second round games in 6A South here in the Central Virginia area, conferences 3 and 4. Thomas Dale goes to C.D. Hilton, and River Bend goes to Cosby. So let's quickly review where we're going now that we've seen where we've been. 5A North next week. Number 10 Atlee, with the win tonight at number 7 Mountain View, goes to unbeaten 11-0 number 2 Tuscarora, who played for the state title and lost to LC Bird last December. That's next Friday. 5A South. In our Central Region pod, we're down to 4 teams. Number 5 Lee Davis at number 1 Highland Springs. Number 3 LC Bird at number 2 Hermitage. In 4A East, Dinwiddie eliminates Monacan. Hanover knocks off Louisa. Dinwiddie at Hanover next Friday night in round 2. It'll be Cortland and Eastern View in the other half of that. The two winners meet each other the night after Thanksgiving. And again, Dinwiddie-Hanover, it will be our game of the week on WHAN Radio, 102.9 FM, 1430 AM, live online on the RVA Sports Network at rvasportsnetwork.com and all of our family of websites. 6A South, Thomas Dale shuts out Woodbridge. Cosby eliminates Manchester. Number 1 Colonial Forge is upset. So Cosby gets a home game against the 8-seed River Bend next week. Thomas Dale hits the road to C.D. Hilton. And oh, by the way, in 3A, we got a couple of games to look at tomorrow afternoon. Colonial Heights goes to York in their first-round matchup, a 5-4. And then it's a backyard brawl, but I know Hopewell's going to be prohibitively favored as the number 1 seed and coming in as one of the hottest teams in the 804, taking on the Petersburg Crimson Wave. Both those games should kick about 2 o'clock, and we'll have Twitter updates for you on both on the RVA Sportsnet tomorrow afternoon. Now, we got a couple of things that are non-football related that we need to talk about for just a moment. Got to congratulate Sydney Whitaker. Got to congratulate Cora Every. Got to congratulate Olivia Maxey and the Deep Run field hockey team. They get the 2-1 overtime win Friday against Mountain View in the 5A State Field Hockey Championship Tournament in Virginia Beach. And so Deep Run will play for the first time ever for a state field hockey championship Saturday, 2 p.m. in Virginia Beach against the team that beat them in the South Region final last week, and that is Gloucester. Gloucester won that match 4-0. Wildcats get a rematch. Can't ask for more than that. Congratulations to Deep Run for the big semifinal win. We've been waiting a long time for a Richmond area team to make it to a state championship. Deep Run does the job, and let's hope now they can finish the job. In volleyball, several teams still alive in state tournament action this coming week. The state semis are all scheduled to take place on Tuesday night. You're going to have, let's see, the James River boys will be in a 6A state semifinal on Tuesday night. Atlee boys, Mills Godwin boys, both in 5A state semifinals on Tuesday night. Atlee will travel to the beach. Mills Godwin will be at home. Mills Godwin's girls will be traveling in a 5A South region, a 5A state semifinal, and will not know who their opponent's going to be until Saturday night when 5A North has their final game. Same thing for Hanover girls in 4A East. We won't know who the 4A West champion is and where Hanover has to go Tuesday night until that is figured out later on Saturday. And over in 4A boys, Midlothian, Colonial Heights, both alive in the Final Four. Midlothian travels Tuesday. Colonial Heights hosts on Tuesday. And all of the teams I just mentioned, with a win on Tuesday, will get to play for state championships at the Siegel Center on Friday or on Saturday. So this coming week, online, on Twitter, on social media, we will be updating you on volleyball. We will be updating you on breaking stories, such as what's going to happen with Clayton Cheatham over at Hanover. We'll be giving you previews of second-round matchups, especially when they concern out-of-town teams. Atlee asks, who is Tuscarora? We'll help you with a little tutoring on that situation. We will look ahead to Friday night's action, obviously, and our network will be up and running again next Friday night to bring you live coverage as much as we possibly can, both broadcast and on social media, as we did tonight. Tonight was kind of an experiment for us. First time that we've had two simultaneous broadcasts online, and it worked out fantastic. At the same time, having reporters at key other games on Twitter. And I want to thank Taylor Luck. I want to thank Preston Hauser. I want to thank Evan Hughes and Kelly Hughes for all of their help and all of their hard work tonight getting the information to us and to the rest of our friends and helpers on Twitter. Rob Welch over there at Chester Fritz tonight. I know disappointing end for Rob and the Warriors, but another fantastic campaign, and they are building something special over at Henrico High School. Our thanks to them and all of you who sent us updates, either text, tweeting, whatever the case may be. Want to thank you very, very much. And again, a quick thank you to the staff at Mountain View High School at Stafford County. They were absolutely phenomenal. So the headlines of the night: Douglas Freeman eliminated, Henrico eliminated, Metoaka eliminated, Meadowbrook eliminated. And in 5A South Central, Lee Davis goes to Highland Springs, and we get round five of Bird Hermitage. Can Hermitage finally bring the four-year postseason run of LC Bird to a close? 4A, Dinwiddie with a win, knocking out Monacan. Hanover beats Louisa. It'll be Dinwiddie-Hanover next week, but will Hanover have Clayton Cheatham after the ejection earlier tonight in the game against Louisa? In 6A, Cosby gets the home game because number 8 knocks off number 1. They take on River Bend, and Thomas Dale hits the road to take on C.D. Hilton. All right, my friends, thanks so much for being with us on this edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RBA Sports Network. I was worried driving home on 95 that, frankly, I wasn't going to have a voice to do this podcast, but it came back pretty good, so we're in good shape. And sometime tomorrow evening, my buddy KG Grobix at kgmedia.us will put up a video, about a 15-20 minute highlight video of the Atlee Mountain View game, and he will add our audio from the game of the week to it. And when that's up, we'll send a link at Hanover Sports on Twitter, so you can get a chance to relive it if you were there and to live it the first time if you missed it. Man, pat myself on the back. I actually picked a decent game of the week. Man. Let's hope next week's the same. Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast presentation of the RVA Sports Network, intended solely for the non-commercial use of our audience. Any rebroadcast, reuse, without permission of HCS Media LLC, you know that thing? Yeah, you can't do that. It's prohibited. Now with the legalese out of the way, thanks for being with us, everybody. Have a great weekend. We're at Randolph-Macon all weekend. We'll see you on the sidelines.